Peter's grave and going back to the house. And when we stop and think about that, who do you think probably was behind some of those things? No doubt the devil was. Because the devil didn't want a peaceful home. He wanted it to be chaos. And when we think about within the home, within the house of God, do you remember the situation where that Moses, whenever that he had came to the rescue of God's people, and yet at this same time, he, how should they be fighting him? But yet, when we think about the situations in life, and we think about in the church, and I can remember when I was growing up that usually in that area where and when the church was doing pretty good, then here would come a preacher, and he would come in there and he would tear that congregation all to pieces, preaching things in which that I don't believe that was really Bible, but yet some people felt that it was. Now, I realize and know that we're not going to agree on everything. I realize and know that. And it saddens my heart when I hear preachers preach that we all have to be of the same mind. That is, we have to believe the exact same way. I dare say you take any two brethren within this congregation and put their heads together and you begin to talk to them about different things, there's going to be somewhere down the line some disagreements. There's going to be. Because we don't see everything exactly the same. But yet, at the same time, we are, and I do believe, as brethren here, we are of one mind. Why? Because we have that one goal in mind, and that's to do our best to please God and to do His will. That's our goal. That should be our mind strategy. To do the will of God. And brethren, whenever that we think about, just like it was mentioned even this morning when he talked about Matthew 24, our brethren is divided over that. Not only is the brethren, but the denominational world is divided over that chapter. We don't see it all, but we see it the same way. But yet we hope that we strive to understand it and do our best to. Steve, I believe, did a good job on it this morning. In fact, with what he was talking about. Done a good job on that. But yet, we have different ideas sometimes, and you take the book of Revelation. How many brethren, two brethren together, see it the same way? Now, are they of one mind? I believe they're striving to do what they are supposed to do in this life, to try to help others to understand God's will and going to heaven. When we think about fighting between brethren, Paul tells us, can we really destroy God's church? I realize and know that there's some things in which that we just cannot. When it comes to the scripture. And there's some things in which that we can just simply, have to, we might say, agree to disagree on it. Because we don't see it eye to eye. But it's not going to keep us out of heaven. But we need to be very careful sometimes when we teach things to others that they have to obey, which is not God's will. Because when we do that, then we become. become teachers of the doctrines of men. And that is condemned. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you remember Paul hears he writes to the church of Corinth, and of course the church of Corinth, most of us know that it was a church of unity. It wasn't. There was a lot of problems in the church of Corinth, but it was still the church of the Lord, was it not? But there was a lot of problems. But they worked and endeavored to do the will of God and struggles in order to accomplish God's will. And Paul said, brethren, when I came to you, I come to you. Did you meet? For you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is division of things, or things of that nature, he says, you're called to walk in me. Some say, I call my apostle. Who is Paul? Who is apostle? He said, the ministry from whom you believe. Now, sometimes it may be that we will exalt one man, set him on a pinnacle, and everyone else is down here below the rug. Not the way it should be. No. We don't need to be exalted in this life, not by individuals. If there's any exalting come, let it be God that does it. He says, to humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble. And when we do God's will, God will exalt us. I'm not saying that we can't look at individuals because of maybe their knowledge, things of that nature. But we don't need to place them in a position that they are the lawgiver because man is not the lawgiver. Jesus Christ is. And sometimes we find this word that brethren create a lot of problems for those who want to serve God. Now, what I mean by that is the very fact is sometimes brethren gets off on a hobby or something of that nature, and they destroy. Is this the work of God? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And to show you what I'm talking about, and I didn't bring this in this morning, but what we're talking about, for instance, the mechanical instrument. In Midway, Kentucky is where that the church became divided over the instrument. But you know those that were on the opposite side who wanted to hold to the instrument, they accused faithful brethren of being ones who divided the church. What was it that divided the church? It was the instrument, the mechanical instrument. That's what divided the church. The church was doing good until the mechanical instrument came in there, and then there were those who upheld it. And there was fires starting between brethren over a situation in which it should have never happened. Over something in which that the Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say for us that. But the fight continues. And from there on, it continues by having other ideas and other things. Paul said, I can feed you meat for your head carnal, and there is envy and strife, and not only is there envy and strife, he said, but you have divisions, and you're people in which that walk as men in the rest of the world. Some say, I'm Paul, I'm Apollos. He said, you're carnal. Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministry, by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave critical man. I mean, Apollos was, but God gave the growth for the increase. So then, neither is he the plan of anything. Realize another that if you plant, he said, you don't need to help yourself. Neither if you water. And I heard years ago some talked about Paul planting and Apollos baptized because it said Apollos watered. But that's not what he's really talking about, is no. I'm talking about that. But Apollos had to take care of nurture, encourage. But God gave his other gifts to increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together. We are laborers together. In other words, we're working with God. God's in control. He's the one supervising the job and has to be done. We don't have nothing to do with the supervising the job. That's his business. He's in control of those things. And you take it upon yourself, you go and you find a good job. And you go in there and you tell them, say, now this is how you're going to have to do this. How long do you think it'll last? I know if I was in control of things like that, I'd say, hey, you know, the best thing you can do is probably go back home, find you somewhere else. It's like your own job, your own business. Because you don't tell me how to run my business. No, no one is to try to tell you how to run your home. And neither are those that are in other states and other places of the world. They have no need to try to tell the church you're out. This church is to be run. If you use the word run, I don't like it. Because it makes it feel like that we're the ones in home place. But there have to be someone to oversee the work that goes on here. But when we think about problems, and probably no doubt you can see them through here, some of you, old enough to realize and have seen how the problems came about and how the problems have been destroyed in some places of faith of individuals. These things. But we read of an example, and I don't know if you look in the book of Luke chapter 15, and here we have Jesus talking about the prodigal son. Remember how that he was a young man, he had everything in his own mind, he knew what he was going to do. So he decided, well, I'm going to get away from my home, I'm going to leave it, and I'm going to go and do what I want to do. What people are like that? I'm going to get out, I'm going to start me a church, and we're going to do it the way we want to do it. That's what it should be. That's the way it should be. But the young man came to his senses after he went down into the chapter, after he had to end up feeding the hogs. he comes to his senses, I'm going to go back home. You know, one thing about it, a child may get upset, they may leave the home, but they always remember where that good food was at before they left. They remember that. But tell about another guy. And this time when the young man comes back home, we find in the situation where that tells us that have to be over there. In verse 25, talk about the elder son. This elder son, it says that he was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, I don't want to get into that. But here, when it talks about music and dancing, there's some trying to make it, well, you see, they had music and dancing in the church. No, this is what the church. Church wasn't even established yet. But he was in the field, and then he heard about and heard some of these things when he got near the house. And then he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. Now, why didn't this elder son go into the house and find out for himself? He was a coward. He was a coward. The same thing sometimes happens with us. We don't want to really find out on a one-on-one basis about things. We want to hear it from somebody else. Servant went in, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Here was a situation where that the elder son sees and hears about his brother's return. He should have been jumping for joy. Should have been jumping for joy. But ain't it strange that sometimes it is with our brethren that when someone returns back to the fold, they get so disappointed. Well, all the things they're going to do, they're going to do the same old thing again. That's always worked that way. Doesn't always work that way. You remember in 1 Corinthians 5, the man who had got into trouble because he had his father's wife, and then in 2 Corinthians, Paul told him, you receive this man because he may be, in other words, grounded in his own sorrows. You accept him. Accept him. It's our responsibility, you see. It's our responsibility. Not looking at it from the sense, well, they'll just do it again. Don't look at it that way. Wait till they do it. And then remind them, well, you broke your contract with God again. He should have been jumping for joy. And then verse 28 said he was angry and would not go in. Bother coming here to the house and disturbing the things that's going on here. concern for it. Something's angry. You know, as Christians, like in Colossians 3:8, we're to put off anger, bitterness of anger in our lives. It says in verse 29, he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years you have served me." Here was a situation where that he really wanted to pat on the back. "Oh, these many years I've served you. Don't you owe me something? I'm devoting my life to you." Well, you know the father was the same. Neither transgressed I at any time by the commandments. Here I've been a real good boy. And I ain't done anything wrong. Haven't you seen a lot of individuals who are very, very self-righteous? "I don't do anything wrong. I don't, do as so-and-so does." We think sometimes, I suppose, that we're perfect. That we are God's special child, and we shouldn't have a need for anything. And sometimes I do believe that maybe possibly we get into the situation that we are a, as we would use the term, a spoiled child. Because we think that God owes us everything. Because maybe, I don't know, a few years, it doesn't necessarily have to be that long, it could be a few months, it could be a few weeks. We think God owes us everything. But you know what God requires of one child? He requires of every child. And he requires every one of us to work to our fullest, to do our best. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded that there are no special friends in heaven. One thing about it, if I get to heaven, that's all I'm going to worry about. That's all I'm going to worry about. What I do after there, then it's going to be God's business. But I know when I get to heaven that I ain't going to sit around and do nothing, because there's going to be more words there than there are here. Remember what Jesus said? "You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things." I don't know what all is going to go on in heaven, but I know that one thing about it, it won't be just a place where you sit down and look. There are a lot of things to do. But here this elderly son, he said, "I, not at any time, transgress anything. Man." And he says, "You never even give me." We either get jealous of the younger one or the older one. If we're in between, I guess we can choose whichever one we want to be jealous of. But it's not really right, is it? No, it's not. Jealousy is something that God condemns. He condemns. But he said, as soon as this thy son, and you notice what he said? As soon as this thy son, not my brother, of course, didn't want to claim him as his brother. He ain't no brother of mine. And you're an illustration. I'm sure you have. You took it to make yourself. It's a brother of mine. Well, he says, he's devoured his living, the products, and you kill for him the fatted calf. I'm against it. I'm against it. He said to him, son, I notice the father's. The father's mind. He said to him, son, although that the things in which that he had said have spoken back and forth to his father, he's being called him son. Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make her and be glad for this. Now the father turns back on him. Yes, your son, your brother, lad, your brother. Your brother. He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father let him know, although he done the things that he did, and yet although the father was forgiving, he let him know, did he not, that he was used to it. He was lost in his family. And the thing about it is, to be once saved, always saved, individuals. Now, you can never become lost until you first become saved. Until you first became, you have to be saved before you become lost. And you have to be dead before you become alive again. They don't want to take some of these things. And that's just like a lot of people fail with a lot of things in life. They don't want to take what all the Bible says on the same thing. They want to just take a small portion of it. See, this is in there for a purpose. As I have stated many, many times before, that when the coon goes up the tree and the dog starts fighting on the ground, what do you think that coon is going to do? He's going to find a way out of that tree. For his brethren, we don't need to be fighting. We don't need that in our brotherhood. We don't need that. Because we've got enough to fight against with the devil. Devil is a very strong opponent. But the devil doesn't want peace and harmony in the home. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want peace and harmony in the church. He doesn't want that. Now, I'm not saying, brethren, that in order to have peace and harmony, we have to sacrifice truth. No way. No way. You can't sacrifice truth in order to have peace and harmony. No. Well, Proverbs 36, 5, truth. It's not the truth of something else. Believe that. It takes the truth of God to save us. Jesus makes that word clear. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall be the truth. It's the gospel of Christ that saves the individual, not the falsehood. Teachings of Christ that every Christian has to abide by. You have to abide by His Word. Remember what He tells us in John chapter 15? He says, if a man abide in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus, what if I don't want to really abide in you? Jesus said, well, in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and being gathered in and cast forth as a branch, and they are burned. There is a need for us to abide in Jesus Christ. There is a need for us to abide in the truth. But I don't want to be cast forth as a branch. I don't want that. And I'm sure you don't either. But we need to, as Christians, to strive for the Word of God. To do His will. And knowing by doing so that heaven will be ours. When can you start doing that? Can it be done too soon? I don't think we can start too soon. We may start too late. I'm getting the job done before the Lord comes. Because we have many people who start. And they have a faith that there is a Savior. But they ask Him to come and say, yes. Then they have a faith and they're, well, I'm going to change my way of living. But that may be just